probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-591-9426. That's 800-591-9426. 800-591-9426. Or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning, this is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on Hunterton Chamber Radio. And today we've got some cloudy skies, severe thunderstorms and patchy fog, thunderstorms tonight. A little bit cooler tomorrow, partly sunny and slight chance of rain. Back to heavy rain on Thursday, heavy rain on Friday and Friday night. And then looks like the weekend will be sunny. Saturday, mostly sunny, high of 71. And Sunday, mostly sunny, high of 69.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. Welcome to Happy to Help. We are a show about volunteering, foundations, donations, and all kinds of different wonderful people in and around Hunterdon County and all around New Jersey doing amazing things. And today I'm very excited to welcome Jeannie Petrucci, who is a registered dietitian nutritionist, and she is the founder and managing director of Living Plate. Welcome, Jeannie.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Okay, great. Can you tell us a little bit about how Living Plate got started? And you've got a very rich historic story to share with us today.
Well, I'm excited to be here today because it all actually started in Hunterdon County right here in Flemington. My husband and I raised our first two children. We have subsequently had two more children, which adds interest to the story. But we raised our first two children here, and I was a stay-at-home mom. And when my children started going to school, I really started looking for ways that I could volunteer and impact my community. And I really wanted to build on my natural interest in nutrition and food. And I was raised by a teacher, so I've really discovered about myself that I'm a natural teacher and I really like to teach. So really just kind of, you know, experimented with volunteerism probably when my son entered first grade, and I had more time during the day. And really, my family has a long history of community service, and so really had a commitment to, you know, trying to use whatever talents I had at the time to impact my community.
Yeah, that's great. And you made a big decision and a big commitment to go back and get another degree. And that was no small task. So tell us about, because is the RDN a new designation or
no? No, it's not new. It's a registered dietitian nutritionist is a credentialed healthcare professional. So there's a long path to obtaining that credential. And, you know, let me just take you a little bit back. When I lived in Flemington and I first started volunteering, married my interest in nutrition with really my desire to just share and teach. And I just loved being around people. And so I just started donating cooking classes too. And I think you may have come to one of mine, or you're at a gala where I donated one, but yep. I just started offering these cooking classes as fundraisers. So I would either hold them in my home or in a friend's home, or I would donate the class to a gala.
Yep.
And that's really just how it started. And so one class led to another, and I was having a great time, and the participants were having a great time. But I will tell you that it wasn't until I volunteered at the Cancer Support Community, which is located in Bedminster, New Jersey. Cancer Support Community is a nonprofit organization. It is the largest worldwide organization of oncology, healthcare, psychosocial professionals. And so they were holding cooking classes regularly, a variety of people coming in, giving the classes. They were very popular. And one of the women who came to a gala fundraiser, she actually bought the class, said, could you please teach a class at Cancer Support Community? And I was like, of course. Like, uh-huh. That's a great use of what I have to offer. And I was so incredibly touched by the community. It really made me take a step back. I didn't feel qualified almost in that area, because I was teaching people how to cook, which was great, and healthy food, but I was getting asked questions that I didn't have the answers to. And I didn't feel like I had the knowledge base to answer very specific questions about nutrition as it relates to cancer. And it really made me think about going back to school. And I did. Back home to my husband. By that time, my children, my older children were in middle school and, about to get into high school. And it was good timing. Just started by taking one class. I did not commit to a master's degree. So let me just take one class and see what it's like. And, the registered dietitian credential, you have to take a lot of science, heavy science. I love science. So it was good for me, but I had always avoided taking organic chemistry. So that's really where I started. I took an organic chemistry class at a local college, and I loved it. And I just became obsessed is probably an unhealthy word for it. Like, I became very, very passionate about, like, wow, this is what I'm meant to be doing. So I just started taking science classes, and then just decided I was going to go for it, applied to a Columbia Teachers College program, got in, and just, the ball started rolling. I should mention that I got pregnant twice. I had two more babies in this whole process. So, but it was complicated. But honestly, I think blinded by passion would probably be the best way to describe my state of mind at the time. Like, this was something I had to do because, again, I was so touched by this community. I felt their vulnerability to misinformation. And I have a wonderful relationship with Cancer Support Community. We do original research. And again, that's so to long answer to a very brief question. That's kind of really how it all got started. Really, that experience ignited my passion for doing this.
I know. And it's all relevant. And that's what I try to do with this show is talk about how, maybe you've got some extra time or you really are kind of floundering or you're not happy with what's going on with your life or what's the next step. But I always encourage people to volunteer because it opens up a whole new world, you know, and it may not be the first place you volunteer that you feel the right fit, but you can definitely, it's out there.
That's an excellent point. And I actually made a note here to say that, like, you just have to start, just like do it, like do something, like identify what you love doing, find a good match, find a good partner, a good community organization, and just start volunteering. And it might not be a great experience the first time, but that's okay. Then just move on to another experience and just until you find that real fit. And again, for me, it was the Cancer Support Community in Bedminster. I just, there is just such an incredible organization, and we were just a great fit.
I'm going to have them on the show.
Yes.
I know my neighbors are involved in that too. And Jeanette did their logo, I think, too, or something.
Yes, Jeanette did my logo.
I know. It's amazing. So, well, let's talk. Can I go back 20 years really quick? And because you said you did private cooking instruction for 20 years. So how did that start? I'm just curious.
I donated a class to my children, went to local Montessori school, and I donated a cooking class.
But were you always a good cook, or you didn't
self-taught.
Go to culinary school?
Self-taught. So, part of deciding where you're going to volunteer is by doing a talent assessment. So, like, everybody has talents, no doubt, right?
Yes.
And I really, I was a good cook. I mean, everybody who came to my house always said so. So I figured they weren't lying. And I have since learned that I'm a super taster. So I can really, I'm really good with flavors and identifying flavors and foods. And really, for me, sitting down with a cookbook is a good read, right? So I just self-taught. My mother-in-law, Rosalind Petrucci, who has been involved in Hunterdon County doing public service for a very, very long time. Love her dearly. She really helped me to understand the basics of cooking, like how do you roast a chicken, like basics like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Early, my husband and I have been dating since we were in high school, so aww, I've known Rosalind a very long time. And then my mother, Joan Villano, was a teacher, so I have teaching in my blood, and she was also a fearless entertainer. Like my mom would have like 100 people over and just like not even sweat at all.
Wow.
And she still does that. And so I think like those two women, you know, came together in my life to really give me what it took, like kind of the fearlessness, like I'm just going to try it, I'm just going to do it. Yep. And then also just having a basic understanding of, you know, what good cooking means.
Right. And you love to play in the kitchen, like you've always said.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You just love to experiment. And
yeah. My family's great, you know. From a very early age, my children understood that you know, kind of the kitchen is my lab and I like to experiment. And my son, Joseph, you know, when he was in middle school, I really, you know, that's about where my passion was ignited. So I really dove in and started experimenting with plant-based proteins and all these new foods. And he's like, I'm really happy to try anything that you make, Mom, but I just want full disclosure. Just tell me what I'm eating, because it looks like a hamburger, but I know it's not a hamburger. So, you know, it's my family's been a great support system, and really that they're where I do all my testing.
Right, you had
recipe testing.
You had your super honest open test kitchen.
Oh yeah, yeah. And, you know, and now I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, and you know they are, as everybody knows, brutally honest, especially when it comes to food. So if I make, you know, an overnight chia pudding and they're eating it and saying it's delicious, I can almost bet that, you know, the adults that I serve primarily are going to think it's also delicious.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
So tell me about the origin of the name. I'm always curious as how did Living Plate come about. I love the name. I think it's so apropos.
Thank you. Living Plate, actually, my daughter Emilia, who is now also studying to become a registered dietitian, she just got her master's degree at Tufts and is now doing her clinical at Hackettstown. You know, I actually just ran by, I said, let's brainstorm. So that happened about 10 years ago, even before I became an LLC and then subsequently a .org. We just sat down and just started going through names that I identified what my mission might be. And it's, you know, living and health and nutrition, but then also the food part of it. And we just literally listed these words. And I said, Living Plate, what do you think? She's like, love it. And that, and we were done.
Yay.
We were done. And then it was about 5 years later, I went to Jeanette Branca, who is a designer, and said, you know, here are all of my ideas. I basically vomited all these ideas on paper. I'm like, can you make this visual for me? And she just did such a spectacular
job.
She's
amazing.
Yeah, really. And we continue to work with her too.
Oh, good.
Kind of refined our logo and our message. So that's how we came up with the name. It was really simple as that. Just brainstorming. Just threw words on paper and said, oop, this works. And that's where it started.
Right. And if you want to check out their website, it's livingplate.org. And you have an incredible space in Far Hills.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. So tell us what goes on, other than being picture perfect there, what goes on in Far Hills?
Yes. So my husband, Jim, is a real estate developer. So when I had a very strong vision about what I wanted for my space and where I wanted to practice when I was at Columbia, probably my freshman or my second year. And, you know, we had looked at a lot of spaces and he's like, no, this, you know, it's not the right location. I mean, I trusted him, like he knew what was going to work. And, we actually, saw that the old Turpin real estate building, was for sale on Main Street in Far Hills, and it was an old house. So it already had a kitchen.
Perfect.
It already had a living room, which is now my classroom. It had kind of a natural reception area. And then it had four private rooms upstairs, which are ideal for counseling. And so when I introduced that to him and said, I think this is where I want to be, he's like, that's perfect. Plug and play. Let's do it. And he's just been incredibly supportive. And my sister-in-law, Jacqueline Catrone, actually came in and gutted it and redid it. And I wanted the space to really feel fresh and light, without being too homey. So a little bit of the clinical piece, because we are healthcare professionals, but we also wanted people to feel comfortable when they came in, and hopefully you felt that.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Right. Like I said, it's like straight out of a magazine.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No, I mean, no, it's so fun. I was like taking pictures and I was like, look at this.
Thank you, West Elm.
Oh yeah. That's a great place. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get into a little bit more about what all Living Plate offers for everyone in a couple minutes.
Terrific. Thank you, Nicole.
Thanks.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. You can watch us on Facebook Live today. Happy to Help is the Facebook page, or you can look it up on @HappyHunterdon. If you want to look up Living Plate, they're on Facebook as well, @Living Plate. And today we're talking to Jeannie Petrucci, who is the founder and managing director of Living Plate, which is on the web at livingplate.org.
You got it.
And they have a space in Far Hills where you do all kinds of cooking and teaching and evaluating. So walk us through all your services there.
So as soon as I passed the registered dietitian exam, we opened up our doors and I brought in experienced registered dietitians to work with me. And everybody had their specialty and still does. We still have registered dietitians there. So we opened up as a private practice. We work with physicians groups. I have a very close relationship primarily through cancer support community with a lot of the cancer centers in the area. So we really were ready to support the community immediately. We accept insurance, so that's important for people to know that they can use their insurance for nutrition counseling and nutrition services. And in our space, we also offer cooking classes because, again, my passion is always marrying this nutrition education, evidence-based nutrition education piece with the culinary piece. So we offer monthly cooking classes. We do private cooking classes. And that all still happens in the space, but about a year and a half ago, I decided that I needed to take it to a different level. So I saw, you know, the impact that we had on individuals and on our community, and I really wanted to scale it. And so Living Plate is still a private practice. We still see patients, but now my attention has shifted a little bit to taking everything that we do at Living Plate and scaling it.
Nice.
Because I really think, you know, with the technology that we have available today, I can take almost everything that I do at Living Plate and that benefits my community and scale it to help other dietitians impact their communities. And that was just really exciting to me, the idea and the concept that we could do that. And so that's, you know, we are in the throes of it now. We about a year and a half ago decided to, you know, myself and one of the dietitians who works with me, Julie Harrington, who is also a chef, we came together and decided this is what we're going to do, and we're going to figure out a way to take everything that we do here, make it digital, and share it with other dietitians. You know, dietitians, I have learned, just generally speaking, the community is, you know, we're all in it for pretty much the same reason. We want to help people with meet their health goals using nutrition and food. And what my focus now is to give dietitians all the tools necessary to do that. Keeping in mind that not all registered dietitians can be volunteers. That's not a sustainable model. So although we are a nonprofit, you know, we are supporting dietitians who, you know, have to earn a living. And so we create the tools and then share it with them so that they can get compensated for the work that they're doing.
All right. So train the trainer kind of thing. Would you
say
it's like that?
Yeah, but more than just training the trainer, we're actually giving them
materials,
right? We're giving them materials. So my master's degree was in nutrition education. So I've been trained on writing curricula, specifically for evidence-based nutrition.
Wow.
And so, you know, I have, on my website, you can take a look at it. It's called the Living Plate Pro Library. It is available only to credentialed healthcare professionals, but we maintain this library of materials. So we have all these different, you know, learning modules that dietitians and physicians and hospital groups, institutions can share with their patients. And we also take content from other registered dietitians who are experts in their field. We have partnered with experts in heart health, digestive health, cancer, diabetes, and even a childhood nutrition expert. We've taken all their content and plugged it into this reproducible model. So dietitians can go into our library and say, okay, I want, you know, module 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to build this wonderful program to deliver in my community.
Right. Right. Well, my cousin just got her, she was already an RD, but she just got certified to deal with obesity.
Yes.
Yeah. So she just opened her own practice in Michigan. So she would be a candidate, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, creating these materials, it's intense work and, it's intense, takes a lot of time. So we offer it at a very low cost for dietitians, again, so that they can save time and just start, you know, spreading our mission, which is incorporating culinary instruction into nutrition education. So all of our modules have cooking demos associated with them.
Nice.
So if I'm delivering a module on inflammation, for example, it's a module we just finished, we are going to offer a culinary piece there. We're going to have recipes. If the program is being delivered digitally, which increasingly they are, because people are busy and they need convenience, we're offering cooking videos as part of it, and then also our digital meal plans, which really deliver, you know, right to the patient and the client everything that they need, all the pieces that they need to follow.
One-stop shopping.
One-stop shopping. That's what we're trying, you know, really turnkey.
Perfect.
Right? So one-stop shopping. Yep. Really turnkey. Like, just come to us and we'll help you, you know, make an impact in your community this way.
Right. And even if you're not an RD or a healthcare professional, you've got cooking classes and plans for just everyday Joe who wants to change their eating habits, right?
Yeah,
the 28 day.
So we have the business to business piece, but then again, on the Living Plate private practice side, absolutely. Yeah, we have a really great team of dietitians, all of whom are listed on our website, so you can take a look there. And our cooking classes and our meal plans. You know, meal plans sometimes are a great place to start. I never saw myself being in the meal plan business, but I will tell you that just about every patient I would see asked for one or really needed one just for guidance. I mean, these meal plans are not mandates. It's not like eat this and then this will happen. That's not how it works.
Right.
But people needed resources. And instead of, you know, searching the internet or searching Pinterest, they now have access to dietitian approved recipes that can help them meet their health goals. And I will tell you, you know, it's really touching to me to think about the clients who come in who have been touched by cancer because, you know, that is a community that I've been, again, working with for so long. And, you know, many of them come in with packets and books of information from their oncologist and from their oncologist, like really overwhelmed. My oncologist has suggested that I follow an anti-inflammatory diet. I have a list of foods, but I have no idea what it's going to look like on my plate.
Right.
That's my job.
Right.
That's my job. And there was no tool available to say, okay, well, you know, here's what it should look like on your plate. Here are the recipes. And so that kind of sparked me into, well, we really, aside from the library and giving information and experience with food, we really need to give people a tool that works for their lifestyle and, you know, really has to be digital because that's how people operate now.
Right. Right. So you've identified a critical niche
critical. And it's a critical niche for dietitians too. So on the business to business side, you know, dietitians and doctors, they're being asked for meal plans too. And it's such a nice offering. And I should mention, our meal plan program is free for credentialed healthcare providers to participate in. The ownership is with the client, so that, you know, it's the client's. Literally, it's like their prescription. So if their cardiologist is saying, you know, this low glycemic index diet is something that can help you meet your health goals. It's not the only answer, but it's certainly a piece of it. This is your prescription, and it's going to cost you $19 a month, and I think you could really benefit from it. And so, you know, in that way, we're giving the healthcare community this valuable tool, and then the clients and the patients are able to take ownership of it and, you know, make it work for their lives.
Right, and I think people just need to get started, because you see all these cooking shows and they've got all these ingredients and everything, you know. But I mean, I know, and it's fun to watch, but when you're in your own kitchen, you're like, what do I do?
So, you know, it's very interesting research. I can't like give you the citation right now, but I know it's out there because I learned about it in my master's program. A good amount of research that goes into understanding, you know, why people watch cooking shows and what behavioral outcomes you can expect from watching a cooking show. So what they determined is that people watch cooking shows because they love watching other people cook. But it doesn't actually change behavior necessarily. I mean, it might inspire you to make one dish that you saw.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of sustainability, you know, behavior change is really hard.
Yeah.
And it's really messy. And, you know, anybody can change their diet for a week or 2 weeks or 1 month, which is why, you know, diets just, you know, right. quote-unquote diets don't work.
Right.
You really need to help clients and patients at the lifestyle level, mm-hmm. right? It's a nutrition. There's a lot of other things that go into it. But, you know, for the nutrition piece, it's about, you know, addressing where the client is at that point in time. I have some clients who come in, you know, scale of 1 to 10 cooking level, they're like an 8 or a 9, right? They come into the cooking classes, they throw the towels over their shoulders, like ready to go. I'm like, great, here's the meal plan, like you're good to go. But then there are other clients, you know, I don't cook so much, or I don't have time, or I've got young children. Well, here are the meal plans. Your goal this week is to roast a sheet pan of vegetables and make 2 no-cook breakfasts.
Yep. Yep.
Right. So start slow, but our meal plans, like, they give people, you know, they give people and clinicians a place to have a conversation around food.
Mm.
And that's super, super important, because people don't eat paper. Right. So giving them a handout is not going to work. People don't eat carbs, proteins, or fats. They eat food. And again, my job, I feel very strongly about it, obviously, is to translate all of that science into, this is what's on my plate. I don't have to think about the carb, protein, fat. Is it anti-inflammatory? Is it going to help me? Like, this is, you know, my healthcare professional. I have faith in them. I trust them that, you know, this salmon recipe with roasted broccoli and sweet potato fries or whatever it might be is going to help me meet my health goals. And so really kind of making it simpler, right? And also considering low culinary literacy, because just generally speaking, you know, people are about between a 3 and a 5 on that scale of 1 to 10. And so we're not looking to make people be America's Next Top Chef. We want to inspire them, but we're realistic about what it takes to feed not only yourself, but your family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think too, people want to make a change and they go too drastic too fast and then they fail.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You said before, going back to basics, how do I roast a chicken breast?
Right.
How do I steam some vegetables? I think when I first got into cooking, I thought, well, you have to steam the broccoli like 20 minutes because that's what my parents did, you know, and it's like two or whatever, you know,
yeah.
I mean, just these misconceptions, or people still have these misconceptions about certain foods, like avocados are fattening, peanut butter's fattening, eggs are bad for you, which is not the case anymore, right?
They're
superfoods.
And I think, exactly. And I think that, you know, this increased awareness is great. But again, what do you do with that? Okay, so now, you know, avocados, I don't think I've ever met anybody who doesn't like guacamole and avocados, but I'm sure you're out there, so let us know. But, you know, now that, you know, we've identified these, you know, quote-unquote superfoods, you know, like things like avocados and raw walnuts and chia seeds and plant-based proteins, what do I do with them?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What do I do with them? I mean, broccoli doesn't just, I love steamed broccoli. In fact, mm-hmm. I had it last night for dinner with steamed asparagus, but it doesn't always have to be that way.
Right.
Right. So you know, you can roast them, you can puree them into soups, you can even add them to smoothies. And we have been known to add some steamed cruciferous to our smoothies because cruciferous vegetables have known health benefits. And so we try and get them in whenever we can.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah. And well, there's so many places I could go with this.
Okay.
But, all right. Well, let's talk about the, livingplate.org and, how, so are you, Is it just self-sustaining? Is that how your model works financially? I'm just curious. Or how does it? Well, if you want to go into that,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, no, no. So you know, I'm in the fortunate position that I can sustain this business. Okay. You know, so some months and some years it's better than others. But yeah, I mean, sustainability is really important. So if you're looking to start a nonprofit, you have to have a plan and you have to be realistic. I mean, we're still in startup mode. I mean, because we continue to start new things. You know, my husband reminds me every time you have an idea, you know, it's a process you have to go through, and you know, it's probably going to cost money. But you know, I make my case with my passion. It's like it all seems to make sense. So, yeah, sustainability is something that you need to think about for yourself personally and professionally. You know, what it's going to take, how much money you know are you going to have to put into it, how much money are you going to need to sustain this, and you know, kind of keeping your ideas and vision in check to make sure that happens.
Well, everything that you're doing is, like you said, well thought out, right? Because your husband's saying, let's think this out, and you're obviously
thinking it
through.
And it never ends. Like, you're always, yeah, you know, it's always you always have to look for opportunities to sustain the business. So, you know, volunteerism is great. We have interns at Living Plate that you know, they, in order to become a dietitian, they have to do this kind mm-hmm. of work. So we're happy yep. to mentor. But that's something to consider. And then also, you know, our programming is evidence-based and super robust, so it gets funded. So we pursue foundations, hospital foundations and others mm-hmm. who are interested in you know, forwarding the mission of nutrition and its impact on health. And we get grants for our programming. So, I mean, you have to pay the people who work with you, yeah. right? I don't draw a salary I haven't. That has not been something that has been important to me, and I'm fortunate that I don't need to do that. You know, but in order to be a sustainable model, at some point I'm going to be needing to do that. So, you know, we're still pushing forward. Our library is very new. Right. That is going to be our primary revenue stream, and the meal plans have been around for a while. Yep. So yeah, that's a good asset for our business.
Yeah, and you've got all the connections through the hospitals and the cancer center. You've got all that going on.
So
that's
good
great.
Lesson there.
You've
like, I've been doing work for free for these organizations for a really long time, yeah. and as we grow and as we bring in more people, you know, I want this mission to live beyond me, right? So I could volunteer at the cancer support community, you know, as long as I can, but eventually I'm not going to be able to do it anymore. Yeah. And then the program would have, you know, been done when I was finished, you know, doing that work. And so, you know, advancing my mission through other people requires that you pay those people. So whenever we apply for a grant, we build in, you know, it's going to cost yeah. this much to have a registered dietitian come in, you know, and also, you know, keeping check on volunteer, you know, your volunteer hours, right? You can say yes, yes, yes to everybody. It does feel great. But then at some point, it becomes, you know, becomes exhausting. It doesn't benefit anybody. So, you know, as you start volunteering, just keep in mind that, you know, you start volunteering and it has a snowball effect, and it's great because you can start touching so many people, but then still, you know, check in with yourself saying, okay, how am I most effective, right? So right now, for me, I am most effective 4 times a year working with my health department doing free community presentations.
Nice.
Most effective working with, you know, Atlantic Healthcare and Summit Medical Group and mm-hmm. Robert Wood Johnson. I mean, all these wonderful organizations in, you know, in advancing our mission. But I, you know, I could do this every day, all day.
No, I know, right?
And I love it. And I love it. But you really, you know, got to keep your eye on the bottom line. And again, that sustainability portion that you brought up.
Right. And I think the very cool thing about the world right now is that a lot more philanthropic organizations are business savvy. So it's not just this dodgy old nonprofit in the corner, just kind of right. sitting there, you know, applying for grants and hoping that things,
right.
I mean, people, all executive directors, they're much more savvy about fundraising, about using dollars wisely, about
yes.
using them in the best way, and about being fiscally responsible and transparent. And so yeah. I think it's just a tremendous time in the nonprofit world.
It really is. It really is. It really is. And it's changing. Right?
Yep.
It's
yep.
changing.
For the better.
Finding other ways to generate revenue.
Yes.
It's important.
So what's hot in food right now? Tell me about how Test Kitchen Tuesday came about. And that's okay. the newsletter kind of, right? Or the push,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. more or less it comes out on Tuesday. Depends on
the week.
But so we, every Tuesday, it just came about because every Tuesday seemed to be the day that we were in the kitchen. We always plan on Monday what recipes we're going to be making for the week. And these recipes go into populating our meal plans. So our meal plans, some are prescriptive and some are not. We have like a low FODMAP meal plan, which is a prescriptive diet for people touched by IBS. And then we have an anti-inflammatory meal plan, which is really very generalizable. But we have to populate them with recipes. And we do have some registered dietitians who contribute. But for the most part, we're making them in our own kitchen. So on Monday, we plan. Tuesday, we cook. So that's test kitchen.
Fun.
You know, by and large, most of what we make comes out tasting really great. Really simple recipes, so kind of hard to mess it up. Every once in a while, we'll experiment with something, and it doesn't quite work out. But you need to do that. So we test all of our recipes, and then we share it in our newsletter. So if you go to livingplate.org and you sign up for our newsletter, you'll start getting that. So you'll start getting recipes and announcements. I also blog pretty frequently about different health topics.
Nice.
And so that's really how it started. It was truly Test Kitchen Tuesday. And today, which is Wednesday, right? So today, we're now going to be taking all of those recipes, which we have now photographed, and we've written up. We've done a nutrition analysis. A lot of work goes into putting these recipes on the meal plans. And then we post them between today and tomorrow so that in the next weeks, our subscribers are able to, you know, to see all this great stuff. Yeah, so now it's like seasonal, right? So we go to the grocery store or the farmer's market and we just buy food. We actually don't go in with recipes in mind. We just buy, you know, like we have butternut squash, obviously.
Seasonal, right?
Seasonal,
you're shopping
right?
seasonally.
So butternut squash, we have cauliflower, Brussels sprouts are still around. I think we're still at the end of string beans, but we're still getting that. But, you know, we'll just buy what's in season, and then we'll buy, you know, a ton of herbs and then really dive into our pantry, which is awesome. It was an old closet in the building. And we just dive in and say, okay, what can we make? We literally lay it all out on the table and say, what can we make? And think about, you know, making things that taste good and are doable for people at home.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, so I made these brownies last night that from a kind of a health, one of those flyer free magazines you get out. And so I was making the kids like, so it was brownies, but it had.
I did have beans in it.
No, this one didn't.
It that was really had,
yeah,
okay.
No, because usually you make them with black beans, which are really good brown recipe.
Yes.
And we have, well, and I should mention, I'm going to throw it in there because, A Room to Read did a Recipes Worth Reading cookbook, and you supplied some recipes in there. Really great. And we got some from Dr. Furman,
yes,
his staff and stuff. And so
great.
I think they gave us a black bean brownie recipe in there. So that was our cookbook. And but so last night, so it had sweet potato, avocado. It said maple syrup, but I didn't have that, so I threw in honey.
Perfect.
And then it said sun nut butter, but I just had peanut butter, so I threw that
in.
I'm not allergic. And what else was in there? Oh, 3 tablespoons of cocoa.
Right.
And then coconut milk.
No oatmeal in there?
No oatmeal. It was just a brownie, but it was just a very, it was like an almost, fudgy, dense brownie.
Nice.
And the kids were like, ew, but I'm like, and it was pretty good. But you your taste buds have to adjust too, because, you know, it's not this like sugary, gooey, you know, but but anything with cocoa in it, I can handle. So
chocolate and peanut butter, I don't, it's kind of hard to beat, right?
Oh, I know, right? Yeah.
So sweet potatoes are really great for giving baked goods that kind of fudginess.
Yeah, and, oh my God, they're good.
Yeah, so we actually have quite a few recipes. We have a pumpkin buckwheat muffins, pumpkin buckwheat, that they're gluten-free. All of our plans are gluten-free, actually, because I have celiac disease.
Oh.
And so our kitchen is completely gluten-free. So everything that we make is gluten-free. I don't advocate being gluten-free for everybody. That wouldn't be appropriate. But it's easier to add gluten than to take it out of recipes.
Yeah.
So for our clients who can have breads and wonderful things like that, we just say, you know, have toast or, you know, have some whole grain things like farro or wheat berries with your meal. It's totally fine. But like our pumpkin buckwheat muffins, very like kind of fudgy and great and easy. I think they're also vegan too. So.
And are they're on the website?
Yeah. Well, they're certainly on the meal plans.
The meal plans. Okay.
Yeah. They're certainly on the meal plans. They might be on the website. So we do post select recipes on the website. So you can search and see.
Yeah. Cause I went to a couple of your cooking demonstrations at the school that you had. And I think you made, frozen yogurt out of bananas.
Oh,
right?
That's always fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's yummy. Yeah. And then the other one, I think you made pizza
soup. That's
called
nice cream. Nice cream.
Oh, yum.
Yeah. And then what else did I make?
Pizza soup, I think. Was that
one
of them?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it's interesting. You have to. So that was at Albrook Montessori School, right? In Basking Ridge.
Yep.
And it's so funny. You know, you really got to sell food to little kids. And I've learned that. You know, you have a lot of competition from processed food companies. And, you know, if you're really trying to direct your children more to, you know, to healthier foods, like children are – absolutely not interested in what's good for them. They just want it to taste good. Mm-hmm. So like save the nutrition lecture for like when they're in middle school or high school when they actually have an interest. But like when they're little, you know, pizza soup, yay. I don't have to tell them all the health benefits. But it's a great soup, and we call it pizza soup in our house. And we have things like strawberry mountains and banana boats, and just making simple things sound exciting. Yeah. It's just easier to sell.
Yep, definitely, because then they'll just eat it up.
Yes, yeah. Like literally, I love that pun. That's good. They'll just eat it up. Yeah, they will.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's shift a little bit back to philanthropy. So you've got all these kids, these different ages, and it sounds like, well, I'm always touting, I grew up in a family that valued volunteerism and giving back and helping others, and it sounds like you come from the same kind of stock.
Yes.
And then from a mother's perspective, bringing that, you know, extending that on to your own kids. So can you share
really
a little bit about?
Sure. So my family has a foundation, the Petrucci Family Foundation, really focused on education and exposing underserved communities to cultural experiences. We maintain an African American art collection, and it was most recently in the Portland Museum earlier this year, which was a great show. And you know, that was really born out of my husband's passion for his passion for giving back. Number one, but number two, reaching into these underserved communities and exposing them to cultural experiences and learning about history, which is his other passion.
Oh my gosh.
He was a history major at Princeton. And so, and I think you should probably have the Petrucci Family Foundation on
Absolutely.
The podcast, and they can share, you know, a lot more about it. That's a whole other conversation. But yeah, my husband has always, and his mom, always been really committed to giving back to the community. And my mom too. My mom was a teacher. She retired as a media specialist from the Trenton school system.
Wow.
And she was a teacher bringing in breakfast for children who didn't have any.
Wow.
Right. And so it's in our bones, and we're fortunate that we can do this, but you know, it's not necessary to have a foundation to give back.
You just have time.
You make time.
Exactly.
You make time.
Yep.
You make time.
Yeah. That's why I said you have time for what you make time for.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So make time for cooking healthy food for yourself.
Yes.
And make time for helping others.
And it's not totally selfless. Like you do these things because, you know, you want to achieve, you know, like self-actualization, right? You want to have self-esteem and kind of feed yourself too while you're serving your community. But then ultimately you just want to reach your potential. Like, you know, what is the total impact that I can have? Because ultimately, you know, really what I learned about my upbringing and what my husband and I both share is that life is not about you. It's about what you can do for other people and kind of your legacy, through your children, number one, but through other people. How can you touch other people and impact their lives and then, you know, subsequent generations? So we're always thinking about that. And that it really does fulfill us and fuels us.
Well, people are probably familiar with the food pyramid, but then the other one is the Maslow's hierarchy
of needs. Like, did you study health behavior?
No, I've just heard it through the philanthropy and stuff. I've
important.
Heard it. Yeah,
you know, it's really important. It's a really simple concept. Can I explain it?
Go ahead.
To your listeners.
Yeah.
So Maslow hierarchies of needs proposes that kind of basic needs have to be met first before you can move on to a next level of needs. So, you know, essentially our physiological needs need to be met. So you need to have food, shelter, and clothing. Like those are essential needs. And I think, you know, most of your listeners, hopefully like that need is met. And once those needs are met, then you can move on to the next level, which is safety, right? Do you feel safe in your environment? I think then beyond that, it's love and belonging. You know, do you have a community of people? If you aren't loved and you aren't supported, it's going to be difficult to move on to the next level, which is self-esteem.
Right.
Right. So it's a pyramid, truly.
Right.
Like you have to, you know, basic needs, then, you know, safety, and then love and belonging. And, you know, hopefully you get to the point where, you know, you reach self-esteem, where you're, you know, kind of feeling like you have purpose. It's really about having purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And then ultimately at the top of Maslow's pyramid is self-actualization. It's really taking your self-esteem to another level, which is where I think that volunteerism fits in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like how can I reach my potential?
Yeah.
And, you know, for me and my family, it's about our potential is being met by the impact we have on current generations of people, you know, wide array of generation of people within a generation, and then how can we extend that to the next generation, right? So it starts at home with your kids, and how, you know, teaching them how to treat other people and what is expected of them, and then, you know, it extends to their children too. So hopefully I'll be around long enough to, you know, pass on my passion for this to my great-grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. You never know, right? Yeah. So meeting those needs, you know, understanding that kind of hierarchy. So just look it up. You can just Google Maslow's hierarchy of needs and kind of view the pyramid and understand, okay, where am I at? And understand, you know, if I'm not feeling a sense of belonging or loved, or I feel unsafe, that need has to be addressed first, right? And sometimes you can't do it by yourself. You need help. And then it allows you to move on. And it's also really valuable recognizing that in other people. Right.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if you're working with a community that's not in a particularly safe place, you know, you can't expect them to develop self-esteem overnight and, you know, and be empowered and take care of you. I mean,
yeah, it's not a switch.
No, it's a process. And so, you know, it works both ways, both for yourself and for the people that you're trying to impact, kind of recognizing where people are.
Right. And I also think it goes to the point where you have to take care of yourself first in order to take care of others. So I tell people, don't feel guilty about making time to exercise or making time to meditate or making time for you, because then you're going to bring that much more to the table for others, for your kids, for your family, for whatever, right?
I mean, yes, absolutely. People and it's something, that's literally something I struggle with every day. My daughter's actually, she's doing her clinical rotation up in Hackettstown. She happens to live in Princeton with her fiance. But she's living with me from Monday through Thursday, which is awesome. But I'm inspired by her, you know, she gets up and she exercises every single morning. And I heard her on the Peloton this morning at 5:30. I'm like, wow, I got to get up and do this. So I just did. Like, I didn't even think about it. I went downstairs and I worked out and I made the time. And you know what? I will now go through my day feeling a little bit better. You know, I don't have guilt associated with exercising or not, but it does. It definitely makes me feel better, both mentally and physically. And so, you know, I just have to make sure that, you know, remind myself every day that I never regret taking a walk with my husband or playing with my kids or, you know, working out. That stuff you don't regret. Right. So sometimes you have to say, like, just do it. You know?
Well, and it has residual benefits. It helps with your digestion, right?
Oh.
And helps with your sleep.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's a win-win. Yeah. But, and also, because I cannot work out early in the morning. Like, I'll that's when my best sleep is. So I prefer to work out, well, maybe later in the morning or when I used to work.
Okay.
After work, I would let all my stress, you know, I would hit the gym right after work and just kind of like cleanse, you know, so it just, you have to find the right activity that works for you, the right time.
And it doesn't always have to be one that produces massive amounts of sweat, right?
No.
I have a lot of clients who have dogs and they walk their dogs. I'm like, well, this can easily become exercise if you put on a weight vest. And as you're walking your dog, you do lunges. And I just, you know, I'll literally get up out of my counseling chair and say, see, this is something that you can do. And then I'll put them up, you know, match them with a personal trainer. I don't operate outside my scope of service. I am not a personal trainer, but I'll match them up with, you know, people that we refer to and say, you know, work with them to see what's safe for you. You don't have to go to the gym because I can't go to the gym. I don't have time. I can't go to the gym. So I've got some simple equipment in my basement and I make it work.
Yeah. It doesn't take much. And yeah, I'm the same way. I used to go to the gym, but now I'm like, you know what? I just go to my basement and I knock it out and I'm done.
Hit the treadmill, do some weights. Yeah. My daughter's also studying to be a personal trainer. So I'm like, show me some moves this week and I'm good to go.
Good. She's got all going on. Yeah. Well, and the other thing that maybe you can corroborate or confirm this, but you know, they always say, you know, losing weight or staying healthy or whatever, it's all about diet and exercise. But isn't it 80% diet?
It's mostly diet. I don't throw percentages out.
Okay.
But yes, I mean, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. I think that pretty much everybody will agree to that. And I will also, you know, it's also important to note that research has shown that people notoriously overestimate the amount of calories that they're burning when they're working out, and they underestimate their intake. You know, so when I have clients that I'm counseling and I'm doing their intake, talking about, you know, what are you eating during the day, you know, calories really add up. And, you know, I'm so glad that you're enjoying raw cashews. Show me about how many cashews you're eating, you know? And so, and it is not, and it's usually with the nuts, which is so funny. But, you know, a lot of clients, we need to educate on what is a serving of raw nuts that's appropriate, and I can share it with you right now. It's what fits in the palm of your hand.
Right.
So the amount of nuts for you and the amount for me is going to be different. So if you're, right. you know, a male, you know, athlete, you know, you're probably going to be able to have more. But, you know, sometimes it's like, wow, you know, do you realize that you're consuming 1,200 calories of cashews with
ooh,
your breakfast, right?
Ooh.
And that's, you know, people don't think about
yeah,
that. So
yeah.
it's, and it's knowledge, you know, it's knowledge too. So that's part of my job is to make sure that people understand, yes, these are healthy foods, but they have calories associated with them. And it's not, you know, that whole, the, you know, the idea of calories in, calories out, it's not as simple as that. You know, there's a lot more involved.
Yeah.
We're learning a lot more about the gut microbiome and
yeah.
gut permeability that can play into someone's ability to, you know, process the food and their nutrients. So, yeah, that's like a whole other show.
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break
sure.
and we'll be back.
Terrific. Thanks.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. And our guest today is Jeannie Petrucci, a registered dietitian nutritionist. And she's the founder and managing director of livingplate.org. We're on Facebook today on Happy Hunterdon and Living Plates on Facebook. And check them out on their website. They've got all kinds of great things going on. And we've been talking about a lot of things today. And we're going to kind of summarize what we've been talking about and volunteering
let me
and eating
plug the social media a little bit too.
Okay,
we're on Instagram at Living
okay,
Plate. Yeah.
I know I haven't gone there yet, so I forget about it.
Instagram's great because it's very visual.
Yeah,
right. I'm a very visual person,
okay.
So I'm always taking pictures of my husband never gets a meal. My family never gets a meal without it first being photographed.
Hey,
so
that's
if I make
great.
Something at home, I think it was last week. It was okra.
Oh wow.
And okra's a funny vegetable because it has that mucilaginous kind of center that turns people off sometimes. It's great for gumbos and soups, but sometimes it doesn't sit well with people. You're making a face, so
yeah,
like,
I'll eat gumbo, but I haven't okay. I haven't experimented with it beyond that.
If you take okra and you roast it until it's dry, it's basically like a French fry.
Oh.
So we made that last week and the kids were like, "Can I have it with ketchup?" I'm like, "Sure."
Ah.
Like the vehicle's pretty decent in terms of nutrient density, so sure. Drag it through ketchup, like I'm totally okay with that. But yeah, I had to like rearrange it and take a picture, and they're like, "Oh, mommy!" Like everybody just rolls their eyes at me pretty consistently. Yeah, so I think in reflecting, I was really here to share my story and kind of my history about volunteerism and kind of how this .org thing, got started. And I will say that one of the most important things is to take care of yourself first before you can take care of other people, right? So nutrition is a huge part of that. I've had a variety of health concerns. I'm 54, right? So pretty normal stuff, some stuff not so normal, but you know, you really do have to take care of yourself first, paying attention to your nutrition. And like you said, stress, meditation, exercise, physical activity, you know, community, that's all really important before you even take a step into volunteerism. You know, but then if you are making the decision that this is a leap I'm going to do and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to volunteer the time that I have, I'm going to make some time, you know, take care of yourself and then do a self-assessment. What are my skills? What can I do? Because I guarantee you that there is a tool in your toolbox that somebody needs.
And what do you like to do?
Yeah. Right. What do you like to do? Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, just start dipping your toe into those waters and, you know, somewhere along the line, you're just going to be set on fire and you're going to be like, wow, this is awesome. And decide that, you know, this is what you're, you know, this is where you're going to be focusing your time, or maybe even taking a step back and saying, I really, you know, want to help this community, but I think I need some more education.
Yeah.
Right. And then just go back. I mean, education is something nobody can ever take away from you, right? It's always a good thing. Almost always a good thing. So, that self-assessment is important.
Right. And asking your friends and your coworkers and your people you go to church with, because there's lots of opportunities and sometimes it's more fun to do things with a friend.
Yeah.
And then you get introduced to another group that they're involved with, and that might be a good fit for you, or it might be just an introduction as to this is how this works.
Yeah. You know, again, that love and belonging, that community, like the second you start volunteering, you almost always you're brought into a community and it's a wonderful thing. It's really a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think I've been saying that because we now, not so many people are going to church as much anymore, not as regularly with the crazy schedules and different things. So I think the nonprofit world and the community world and the volunteer world is where you're building that human interaction. And again, the other benefit I say is that you're meeting people from all different ages and stages, and because that's where everybody gets thrown together.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It also forces you to learn, which is great. Like I am a chronic learner. Like I'm always reading. I'm always reading about, you know, something that I don't know about, because I want to improve my skill set, and just because I have a natural interest, probably the result of being the daughter of a teacher. But you know, you're always learning. You know, for me, one of the steepest learning curves was in the area of technology. Even if you're going to be a volunteer, you're going to be expected to learn about different technologies that are involved in whatever that nonprofit is involved in, right? So whether it's podcasting or video, I mean, for me, it was social media and video production and food photography. I mean, this was not on my radar, right?
Wow.
So I had to take webinars. I had to learn from experts, and I loved it, but it's a learning curve, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, be ready to learn and be open to it.
Yeah, and there's so many free webinars now. I'm constantly watching nonprofit webinars, fundraising webinars. It's so much fun.
Podcasts, right?
Podcasts.
So many great podcasts to listen to. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm still not going to delve into Instagram because I just feel like I cannot handle one more platform. So I've got the kids doing it.
It becomes a commitment.
Yeah, I know, right? But I mean, I know people love looking at it. And you have to go where people are, because some people are only on Twitter, some are only on Facebook, some are only on Instagram. But, you know, we get the information somehow.
In my business, you know, we're reaching out to millennials too, and so you know, we have registered dietitians nationally who use our programming and who use our meal plans, and a lot of those dietitians, I would say by and large, most of them are, you know, probably the average age is like in their mid-30s, and you know, I'm a second career dietitian, and so you know, they're servicing communities who are really skilled in technology and who expect the technology,
right?
You can't just be, you know, be counseling and not letting your client walk out with some actionable, and sometimes it involves technology. And so we're trying to step up in that area. And again, it's been a learning curve for me. So, so reach out to me, you know, for anybody who's listening, please feel free to reach out with any questions that you might have. I'm always available. Livingplate.org. You can use our contact form. If you're interested in trying our meal plans, also at livingplate.org. On the meal plan tab, there's a free 3-day trial. So,
nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. For 3 days, you get to kind of dip into all of our recipes and experiment and see if it's a good match for you.
All right. Well, we've learned a lot today, and it was so much fun. And we'll have you back again. And
sounds awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Nicole.
You USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump at this hour is chairing a session of the United Nations Security Council, and in opening remarks had some words of warning to the governments of Russia and Iran and Syria. But he's also thanking all three of those nations when it comes to their activities in Syria.
For, at my very strong urging and request, substantially slowing down their attack on Idlib province and the 3 million people who live there in order to get 35,000 targeted terrorists. Get the terrorists, but I hope the restraint continues. The world is watching.
Arriving at the UN today, he told reporters that a meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un could be nailed down very soon. The Fed is expected to announce a rate hike later today. And this is USA Radio News.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference. So you can protect yourself and also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccine subject to availability. State age and health-related restrictions may apply.
I've been telling you for a year how great MyPillow is. Well, guess what? There's a great deal on MyPillow.com. You can get four pillows for about the price of one MyPillow. Click on the four-pack special when you go to MyPillow.com. Enter promo code USA. You'll get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows, perfect for travel, for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the four-pack special, enter promo code USA, but do it now.
Four people now supporting Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's allegations that Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh tried to sexually assault her when they were in high school in the early 80s. Lawyers for Ford handed sworn declarations from the four to the Senate Judiciary Committee ahead of Thursday's hearing on her abuse claims.